Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. In today's programme, we take a look at the very first miracle Jesus performed at a wedding. I don't know if you're a fan of a television programme called You've Been Framed, where home videos reveal unexpected or tragic moments. I often wonder just how many people get really hurt in those incidents. But one of the clips that I hate seeing is when a beautiful 3- or 4-tiered wedding cake slowly keels over and crashes to the floor. Some cook has probably spent weeks creating it, and all of a sudden it's gone. A similar catastrophe happens in our Bible reading today at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. It's not to do with the cake this time, though. The wine has run out. Now, many of you may think that would be far worse than a ruined cake, but such an event would have been pretty embarrassing to people at the time when Jesus lived. For a whole village enjoyed a wedding celebration then, with feasting and processions and home visits which lasted for days. People had to be catered for. Let's listen to our gospel reading after our opening song and find out exactly what happened. Johnny Cash wrote this, our first song, after a trip to a church in Cana. He sings it here in San Quentin Prison. It's called He Turned the Water into Wine.
He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine. In the little Cana town, the word went all around that He turned the water into wine. Well, he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He walked upon the Sea of Galilee. Shouted far and wide, he calmed the raging tide and walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He turned the water into wine, didn't my Lord now? He turned the water into wine. In the little Cana town, the word went all around that He turned the water into wine. He fed the hungry multitude,
didn't he, brother?
He fed the hungry multitude. With a little bit of fish and bread, they said everyone was fed. He fed the hungry multitude. He turned the water into wine, didn't the carpenter from Nazareth? He turned the water into wine. In the little Cana town, the word went all around that He turned the water into wine.
He turned the water into wine. Our reading today is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I was reading recently about some accounts outside of this gospel which say that John, the gospel writer himself, had actually been the bridegroom at this wedding. His mother was called Salome, sister of Mary. If this was the case, no wonder Mary seems to be organizing things a little. You can almost picture her leaning over to tell Jesus the awful news out of the side of her mouth. There's no more wine. She needed him to help the family out of their predicament, and she knew she could rely on him. Let's listen to a couple called Joey and Rory singing, If I Needed You.
If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me? For to ease my pain. If you needed me, I would come to you. I would swim the sea for to ease your pain. Oh, the night's forlorn and the morning's born. And the morning shines with the lights of love. You will miss sunrise if you close your eyes, and that would break my heart in two. If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me for to ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. I would swim the sea for to ease your pain.
Mary's concern seems to bring about a challenge to Jesus, who replies, Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. It would have been quite wrong and dangerous at that time to have drawn a lot of people's attention to some mighty miracle. And for a moment, perhaps Jesus seems hesitant and undecided as to what to do. His mother was forcing his hand to act. Was this really what God wanted him to do at that very moment? But he did come to the rescue. That's what a saviour is expected to do, though not everyone seems to have been aware of what was happening. Some of us in life just rush into big decisions without thinking. Some wait and pray for clear direction, for guidance, hoping God will light up the right way forward. So here's a song written by a friend of mine, a local priest serving in Burden and Dudley, Reverend Angela Morn, with a song she wrote when she sought guidance in her life. That is, before she became a priest. It's called Be My Clear Direction.
Today the road's been tough and I am weary, and I don't want to be involved, just close my mind. Want the world to go away and want to fight another day. My Lord, my
This event in John's Gospel, where Jesus turned water into wine, actually marked the start of his act of service to make God known. It was a pivotal point. Here he performed his very first miracle, which would have caused those who did witness it to wonder what manner of person he was. His disciples knew what had happened, and they were certainly impressed. We read in verse 11, "What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." But it's at this point that Mary once more takes the reins. She instructs the servants at the feast, "Do whatever he tells you." She sounds full of confidence and hope. Here is a woman who knows her son very well. She was well aware of the circumstances surrounding his miraculous conception. She witnessed supernatural events at his birth, and she treasured them in her heart. She watched him grow and develop, and no doubt explore his gifts. No wonder she speaks to the servants, fully expecting her son to come up with the goods, for she knew who he was and what he was capable of. She knew his potential. Isn't it strange, though, that people see true potential in others long before they do? Mary's words speak to us down through the century today, through all our doubts and uncertainties, saying, "Do whatever he tells you." In other words, let's listen carefully to that still small voice within. Let's take time to reflect on a call or decision, big or small. Let's listen to the words of this hymn, which speak of that still small voice of calm. It comes to us from Westminster Cathedral, and it's called "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind." Christians believe that God is in us. He's alive and can speak to us still today. He can direct our thoughts, speak into our dreams, our prayers, and perhaps into our conversations with other people. He speaks when we read the Bible and pray. But are we listening as carefully as those servants did to Jesus? Are we as obedient to do God's will and go wherever he sends us? When Jesus turned water into wine, he needed those servants to be the agents of that change, and he needs our cooperation today too. Here's Nina Simone singing Children Go Where I Send You.
Children go where I send you, how shall I send you? I'm gonna send you one by one, one for the little bitty baby was born in Bethlehem. Children go where I send you, how shall I send you? I'm gonna send you two by two, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby was born in Bethlehem. Children go where I send you, how shall I send you? I'm gonna send you four by four, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby was born in Bethlehem. Six by six, six for the six that couldn't get fixed, five for the gospel preacher, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby was born in Bethlehem. The eight that stood at the gate, seven for the seven came down from heaven, six for the six that couldn't get fixed, five for the gospel preacher, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby, one for the little bitty baby, one for the little bitty baby. He was
So the servants did as Jesus told them. They filled the jars to the brim, and they drew some off, and everyone was amazed to find that the water in the six stone jars had been changed into the most delicious wine. Even the steward of the feast remarked, "You've kept the best wine until now." Usually it's the other way round with some hosts, or words to that effect. I believe miracles can still happen today. What is ordinary can become quite special. Whole lives can undergo a sudden change for the better, with the transformation being as dramatic as water being turned into wine. Here's a lovely new song about a broken life becoming whole. It's by a man called Chris August, and it's called From Water into Wine.
I've been running round in circles, but I can't do this on my own. To be so far away from perfect, that's all I've ever known. It's not like I ain't been trying, been trying every door, and when they'd open I'd be lying on the floor, 'cause I'm always falling short. I've been lost chasing dreams of yesterday, broken wings, and teach them to fly. of peace. And now I'm picking up the pieces left of me, as I can see that it was you.
A man called Andrew Lang once said, "The main business of a Christian soul is to go through the world turning its water into wine." I wonder what he meant by that. Well, we just have to read from this chapter on to see Jesus ministering to the lost, the blind, the outcast, the leper, and we see lives changed at his touch. He was just, he was tolerant, he was kind and compassionate. And we are called to allow the same Spirit of Jesus to change us so that Jesus can live again in us and make a difference to our world. We are called to go through the world changing water into wine as his body, the church. When St. Paul preached to the Colossians, he revealed the greatest of all mysteries, which was Christ in us, the hope of glory. There is no one like Jesus, nor will there ever be. May he forever live in our hearts and inspire our thinking. May he direct our actions for the good. Let's finish today's programme with an upbeat song by Chris Tomlin, which has a familiar title once more, Water You Turned Into Wine, and it sums up today's message. Bye for now.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no
to the darkness you shine.